Welcome, everybody. This is Arnaldo, your host of Tommy's Holiday Camp, every Friday night from 7 till 9, here in wonderful, glorious downtown Sebastopol. And yes, here they are. Bossy and Bessie are here, of course. Yep. We're pretty rural out here in Sebastopol. And thank you, Laura, for a fabulous show. Thank you. We are actually going to have a bit of a slop over. Jeff the B-Man will be calling in a few minutes just to do, because he ran late. And so we'll chat with him to catch up from your show. So, but otherwise, thank you so much. And welcome, everybody, to this lovely night in downtown Sebastopol in KOWS LP and 92.5 FM, broadcasting from Occidental, California, but with our studios in downtown Sebastopol and streaming live to the world 24/7. And the phone number in the studio is 707-755-9250 if you have a... if you want to call in over the next 2 hours, we'd love to hear from you. And in just a few minutes, after some announcements, I'll be speaking with Jonathan Lee from the Blue Book Building and Construction Network. And he's the business development consultant. And if you were listening a little earlier, the fires in Sonoma County, obviously it affected individuals and homes, but it also affected businesses and how businesses operated or if they can operate. And as part of their work, they've started a local project to help local businesses, construction businesses who have been affected, and to help them regain their ability to do business and help the reconstruction.
I'm out for my loan. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building.
Hallelujah.
It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord. For my Lord.
Bill Monroe, and I'm working on a building which seems very appropriate for... introducing my guest, Jonathan Lee, the business development consultant for the Blue Book Building and Construction Network. Hi, Jonathan.
Well, good evening.
Welcome. So tell us about, first of all, before we start, what is the Blue Book Network?
Great question. I actually didn't know too much about the Blue Book before I was recruited by them a few years ago. The Blue Book Construction Network, we're the largest and oldest commercial construction database in the country. We're a 104-year-old company, and I like to tell people we started back in 1913 with kind of the Google model back in 1913, where what we did is we just created a gigantic repository, essentially a Yellow Pages, for commercial construction contractors. And we put everyone in that book, that physical book, for free. So it started in New York City. And so everyone that swung a hammer was related to commercial construction. We put them in the book. And then people like the Yellow Pages, you know, we started to advertise over time. So we grew that book for 104 years nationwide. And so as a result, now we have by far the largest repository database, if you will, of commercial construction contractors and property owners, developers, architects, engineers like you are.
Right.
In the entire country. And that's all online now. We are no longer a book. As of last year, we stopped doing this gigantic, what they call it, the Bible.
Exactly.
So we're no longer a book. We are all online now. And so anybody for free can go on to thebluebook.com and make sure it's you type in thebluebook.com. Elsewise, you'll get Kelly Blue Book, who ripped off the term from us now. Anyway, so yes, you can go online and look for any commercial contractor you might want. So I need to stress, this is for commercial. We don't have residential contractors in our network, but we have people, of course, that do the overlap.
They do both.
Do a little bit of both, yeah.
Right.
So
And now you have it's made up of different areas the Blue Book operates in. How does that work?
Well, those are regions based on our terminology. So the Bay Area is considered the region that I operate in, and I manage the Northern Territory of the Bay Area, which is essentially everything north of the bridges, of the Golden Gate, of Benicia Bridge, all the way up to Fort Bragg and out towards Redding. So that's the territory that I manage. Obviously, that's the territory that got hit directly by the fires, which
indeed,
we're going to talk about. Yeah. I live in Santa Rosa, so we were smack dab between the Tubbs fire and then the Nuns fire coming in from the south. But we were lucky. We did not get evacuated. We were close to Memorial Hospital, which was kind of ground zero.
Oh, yeah.
So we were fortunate. But I live in the heart of the community that's been affected. So we're going to talk about how what we're doing and how people can be a part of that to help.
Well, that's it. As we were saying, obviously individuals had to run from their homes, but at that time of the morning, obviously when it mainly hit, most businesses were empty,
yeah,
which were affected and were burnt down. Many, I don't know the number, it was in the hundreds, I think, of businesses that were burnt down and put out of business, basically.
Yep. And there were some that that we'll talk about. I brought the list of folks that I know that are affected in this niche industry, if you will. But there were some that lost both their home and their business.
Oh.
So there's a double whammy out there, and that's not just the case for commercial construction. That's true for a lot of different people. So we're taking very careful notes of those who have been affected in our niche world, if you will, and going to go forward with the program where we're going to talk about more about how we're going to help out.
Is that something that other Blue Book areas have done, or is this something that really our area has really taken the lead on?
That's a great question, and I'm proud to say our area is taking the lead on that. So I did, our company is headquartered in New York, and so I reached out to New York and I said, what have we done in Hurricane Irma and Harvey? How did we help out in the communities there? And the company said, well, we've made hefty donations. We've sent people resources there, feet on the street. But in terms of the rebuilding and recovery, they kind of left that alone. So then I came up with this idea that I asked their blessing on, and they said, run with it and see how it goes. And so far it's, I wouldn't say that it's taking off like wildfire, but it's certainly becoming impactful for those few people that, and it's not few, but for those people that, that I'm representing right now.
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously, so many repercussions, so many people had jobs at those businesses and the families. It's an incredible ripple effect over the whole area.
Absolutely. Yeah, in the commercial construction world, and this is true with the residential construction too, things have been booming, right? It's been very, very busy, and it's only going to get more busy. Everyone's incredibly slammed right now. With the fires, of course, even people that were not directly affected, their jobs might have been affected, right? They might have lost, or their employees may have lost their homes or their belts. So everything is going to slow down for those people. And then there's this waiting period, this temporary lull before commercial or all construction starts to kick up again, which I think is actually kind of a good thing, because as we gather ourselves, find out who's lost, who's suffered the losses, where those needs are, and then start sending people that direction, we're going to have, a more complete list and information to hand out to folks.
Yeah, and it's all about information, isn't
it? Absolutely.
If you don't know somebody needs something, they're not going to get it.
And I want to say up front too that what we're doing is it's a cog in the machine, meaning that there's a lot of great places to volunteer and to have people reach out and help. This is just one of them. I'm very proud of it because it's my brainchild, but it's just one of them. So it's we're going to do a lot to a few folks, a lot for a few folks potentially, and hopefully grows from greater from there. But there's a lot of great places elsewhere to volunteer as well and to help rebuild.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, we had a benefit we put on last Saturday.
I heard.
That was great.
Congrats.
Yeah, you raised $7,000.
Yeah, I heard. That's huge.
It was fabulous.
Good.
And that's it. It's everyone has different talents and skills to help.
True, and one of the neat things I love benefits. That raise money, like you guys did the $7,000, which is awesome. One of the neat things about what we're going to talk about tonight is that when somebody takes part in what we've created here, you're going to see, you will directly be involved with helping somebody. There's nothing wrong with sending money somewhere, volunteering or donating something. But on this particular thing, folks will be hiring or they will be going to work for somebody that has had a loss voluntarily. So people can choose from this list of folks who have been, who are in the industry, and then they can directly work with those people, and they know they're helping these people by doing that. So it's a one-to-one, face-to-face engagement that they're going to embark on.
Right. So you've managed basically the basic thing is you're compiling a list of the businesses that have been affected in the area. And how are you doing that? That must be tricky all by itself.
It's happening in an organic way, which is fairly nebulous if you, but what I mean by that is because we are such a data rich company, we've been doing this for so long. We've collected so many names and you're, for example, Arnaldo, you're in the Blue Book.
Okay.
Your counterpart Laura before this, she's in the Blue Book. We put everyone in there for free. Everyone who does anything in commercial construction, we put into our database, and it's all online so people can find them. Okay. If people want projects, they can pay us for a membership fee and we can go down that route. But everything we're doing on this fiery building is I'm doing it for free. I'm not asking a penny for it. And that's the right way to do it. That said, our database is huge. And so we have, I think I counted, it was almost 6,000 contacts for the North Bay in commercial construction. So I have those, in my database. So what I then did, and I do this every week, every Monday I send this out, is just send, and you got the email, you saw right. It, it's fairly lengthy. what I do is I send out an email to those 6,000 names and saying, here's the rebuilding, here's what we're doing. If you want to get involved, here's how. Mm-hmm. And in that email body, I've created a list of folks that have been affected, because what I'm doing in these emails are going on is I'm asking people to send me those names of people they know in the construction world. Doesn't have to be commercial to tell me about them, but send me someone in the construction world that has been affected by a loss, suffered a loss, lost their home, lost their business, or lost their jobs, right, and has been affected. And I will put them on this list. And then I send that out to all 6,000 of these contacts. And I say, hire these guys. Give these guys a first shot if you can, and if you have a project. For example, Laura has a solar company, and if she had suffered a loss, she would be on the list, and I would say give her a shot at your next solar project. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's two things. My phone rings because people in the commercial construction world, as you can imagine, they've asked me, how do I help out? How do I get involved, right? So I keep note of those folks who have asked for that. If I know them, if they're local, they're on that list automatically, right? If they're out of state, out of area, which you can imagine a lot of people are coming in, then I sort of put them on a different list because I want to, we need to keep it local, right? And we'll talk about that. But then those people who come to me and they say, we have somebody that has been damaged, I put them on the list, and that goes out to those 6,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it's updated every week.
Right. Now, obviously, damage comes in many different forms. The building could have been burnt down, a contractor's yard, or the tools, or the projects they were working on. There's many different ways that they could have suffered in that in that process. And now, time is a big thing, obviously, and as we've seen with the Lake County fires, I know people are almost 3 years and they're just starting to rebuild.
Yeah.
Are we looking at things like that or worse?
I don't have that crystal ball, but I think at least that time frame. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, from what I'm hearing from my FEMA people, worse.
Wow.
So the secondary pathway that I'm taking on this is I've been to the FEMA building multiple times. I've talked with insurance companies about how are they selecting the contractors who are going to come back in and rebuild. Mm-hmm. Who's on that list? The neat thing is FEMA is using me, or they're using me as partially, at least, as one of their many options. They're using me because every contractor that's on our database that I'm giving to them is vetted, licensed, I've sat down with them. I will not put anyone on this list that I haven't sat down with or at least spoken with, right?
Yeah.
To verify that they had a loss, that they need this a shot in the arm. And then when I provide that to FEMA, FEMA is then saying, okay, great, this helps us bolster, because then they don't need to go out and have this bidding war with somebody from Arizona or Las Vegas, which is happening, right? So that's one of the other areas that what else I'm doing with the list. But to your point, FEMA has told me that at a minimum, it's going to be February to March before people are going to be even like getting back to, I mean, because first thing that needs to happen is abatement. You know, they have to test the soil, then they have to remove the toxins through abatement, then demolition. Even though the foundation might look good, it's got to be tested. That takes a lot of time. They're going to drill holes in there to see if that foundation's still workable. And then if it's not, they demo it. And then they come back to test everything again. You got to get it down to bare soil. Right. Then the utilities come in. So it's a long time. I don't see new construction even starting until midway into the spring even on the earliest projects.
Wow. Yeah, that's scary. People obviously want to get going, but so many like unknown things like the plastic pipes underground melting, things like that, things you don't even think about yet as a huge impact now.
I just heard about those pipes myself, and I hadn't even thought about that. I understand, how the utilities are the third thing that needs to happen about. But now I get it even better. Okay, so that's what they mean by the utilities. They got to dig that out all the way now, if it's collapsed, and if they know that there's plastic down the street and they don't know if it's collapsed or not, they have to still dig it out. it's a monstrous job.
Whew. And so so we definitely need local people who know what's happening locally, who know the conditions. That's vital then.
It is, and so let's talk about that. Let's talk about giving the business to the local people. So if you're listening and or you know somebody that has suffered a loss and needs to rebuild, there's going to be a lot of options that can come swarming at you. Of course, patience is if you can be is very important. But first things first, everyone should know this and probably do, but if you get approached by a contractor, you talk to a contractor, check their license number. You can go to the California State License Board. I think it's cslb.org or .gov, and run their license number, run their name in the database to see if that license is accurate and if it's up to date. And you'd be surprised when you see people with licenses on their truck, because you're required as a contractor to have your license number on anything that's public material. Uh-huh. You'd be surprised some of those numbers are no longer valid and old.
Oh, wow.
So that's the first line of defense. Even if it's a referral to you, just check that out. And then the second is we have a lot of local options. It's tough to sort through the madness right now, but take the time to find local and keep it, because they're the ones that are going to stay here after they repair your building and recover, and they're going to warranty it versus the guys who are coming in to swoop in and grab up the FEMA funds. And nothing against the guys from Las Vegas. I would understand them coming in to get a portion of this and help people out too. But then they leave, and who's holding the bag after they leave? So we want to keep it as local as we can. Of course, I'm sure everyone agrees with that.
Well, yeah, exactly, and so that's it. It's that balancing act of getting people up on their feet again to be able to do the work locally.
Yes.
Isn't it? So and that's where really this project comes in to, into play.
Right.
Now with the lists, how are you with the people? How are you getting it out there? How is the... you're generating a list now. How are you getting the word out?
I send the same email out every Monday to that same roughly 6,000 commercial construction contacts that we have in the North Bay. I think it's 7 or 8 counties that are covered in that. So that list goes out, and on that same email, I ask the very people who I'm sending it to, let me know who else I forgot. And so then guys exactly like you reached out to me over email, and they said, hey, they find me, and I get them every single week, almost every day of the week. Hey, did you hear about this person? Only issue with that is I have to verify that these people that are being told suffered a loss, I have to verify that that's true. That's a good point. That's been a little difficult at times to get them, because if they're displaced, you know, to get them to tell me if they can or call me back. So the list is, it's going, you know, being added to every week, after I verify these people. And then those names get sent out with their emails, their contact information, where they're located, what their trade is. And then people can reach out to them and give them a shout to get them hired. Some of these guys, they lost everything. I don't even know if they're going to, restart.
Wow. Some maybe a certain age where they say, well, just screw it. I'm done.
I mean, when they lost their tools, you know, they lost their home, they lost their shop, they lost their tools. Yeah. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but we want to at least give them the option, you know, of hearing from some of our people. I mean, I'm not being picky. You know, if somebody's a residential contractor of any sort, reach out to me. Let me know. We'll put them on the list. I had a guy who, the second person on the list, Dennis Kahn, out of Santa Rosa. He does photography. He's done some commercial photography. He doesn't have much to do with commercial construction, does he? but he, you know what? He's a local person. He can be employed by those who I represent in commercial construction. So he's on the list, right?
Right.
So we're trying to get everyone that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been in construction industry. It covers everything.
Right.
So, it's, now, have you made any contact with, like City of Santa Rosa or the county? How are they, interrelating in this?
You know, I haven't. And I've thought about doing that. I started with FEMA, which was the right place to start. 'Cause then they usually point me downstream. Mm. Hey, you need to go talk to the state about X, Y, and Z, which I'm just not going to take the time to go talk to the state.
Oh yeah.
but I actually have, and I after FEMA, I went to the insurance companies, and what I found out there was that that they really are so slammed with what they're doing that to take time to listen to what I have to offer, they didn't have the time to do it. So no fault of theirs. I just started to go with FEMA and with what I'm doing, and it's been successful enough thus far. So I haven't engaged the city or the county. I don't know if I will. If I find something that's a real benefit there or contact in there, I will certainly do that. Especially if I can get somebody to tell me more about the scheduling. Because as you know, with FEMA, the state, because the abatement, by the way, will be done by the state appointed contractors. And then the demolition, I believe that might also be the state. But then after that, if you're a business owner and you lost your business, then you can go out and select who you want to have done, touch your building, basically, and the utilities.
Okay.
So then it sort of transfers out towards FEMA and the insurance companies at that point. So there's a lot of... I don't want to say finger pointing, but people, it's unclear really what the channel of command is on this. So I've kind of stayed away from that just for time's sake.
Yeah, don't blame you. One thing at a time, basically.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a quick music break, bit of Ramsey Lewis, and we'll... Oh yes, respect the architect, which we will have to do these upcoming years in Sonoma County and Napa County and Mendocino, of course, all suffered great losses, and obviously Sonoma County people knew it as the great wine county, wine area, and now wherever I go, you say from Sonoma County, it's you know, their eyes, you know, eyebrows raise up and say, "Wow, you know, how did it affect you?" type of thing. It's we got the attention of the world, unfortunately, didn't we, Jonathan?
We did, and if you didn't really appreciate wine. And the agricultural aspect of wine in our county before these fires, you should much more now, because as I found out, as I'm sure a lot of us did, is that the vineyards are very resistant to fire. Mm. It's not grasslands, it's not oak forest, it's not brush. And when you have a fire that comes up to a vineyard, even if it's raging, I was told by some of the firefighters that they look at that and they say, okay, that should be fine.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of these vineyards did help, you know, keep some of the fire lines at bay. So if you didn't appreciate those vineyards before, which we all do, right? Now you definitely can.
Okay. So, all right, folks, there's lots of divisions in the area about orchards going out and vineyards coming in, won't get into the middle of that one. But yeah, that did make a difference. With fires come con men and scams. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, and what type of things are you seeing coming up in the area?
I mean, we're definitely seeing a whole lot of people come out of the woodwork to say, how can I get in on the action? And we don't, other than checking their licenses, you know, like I said, to do with the California State License Board, the only other line of defense that I can suggest to people is really the gut check. And you really, truly, that's the only one I can suggest is are these people here for a quick buck and to get in and get out? Or are they, the first thing question is, are they local? Do they get it? You know, do they understand? And that's, if you can check that box off, there's still going to be people that are local that are trying to get in, and you know, turn a quick profit. And, we just upped our insurance on our house and the insurance company said the coverage now went up because the cost to rebuild, it went from, you know, $250 per square foot now up to, you know, they even set up to $500 per square foot, which to me, I can't figure out how that's not price gouging, but, those are those things where the gut check of, all right, is this person doing, you know, going to help? Or are they really throwing out that, you know, nugget that they want me to pounce on? So that's the only other thing I can suggest right now. And I get calls where we've all done it, right? You get calls within 30 seconds, you know, in your gut what that person's, where their heart is, right?
Right.
And honestly, if I feel negatively about that, then they're not going to even be on the list of contractors that I forgot to mention this, but we're also tertiary to all this. We're compiling a list of contractors that want to be a part of this rebuild and are offering up some level of service that is beyond what they normally would do what I'm asking. So if a guy comes to me, for example, I have the list in front of me, and if a guy who does plastering and stucco comes to me and says, listen, I just want to be able to help out, I say, great. Other than just availing yourself and your crews, is there anything else you can do? You know, extend the hours, lower a rate, give a discount. And so I've been keeping track of what those things are and I make note of those things. So those are also on a list of people that I'm compiling right now too.
Any, union, non-union,
doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. We don't, as you know, we don't have a lot of union in the North Bay, but we do have some, and I represent, you know, some clients who are union, which is always interesting up here, but no preference at all. If the person can do it at a fair price, then it doesn't matter. And the great thing about union, everyone should know, is political aside, union has access to a whole lot of skilled workers. Mm. So where other people might say, I have a crew of 10, union can say, well, how big is your project? I can get another 20, 30 if they need to. And that's nice, you know, for these larger the needs like we have.
Right. Well, there was a crunch anyway right now in the area because obviously with January the 1st coming up and a lot of pot growers are getting warehouses and all sorts of facilities in Sonoma County and Santa Rosa. So you've got that, and obviously some have got to rebuild, some are still in the process of construction, and on top of that you've got all the rebuilding. It's going to be quite a squeeze, isn't it, even doing all local?
It is. The local contractors, it would, you know, just like you would if when you're going shopping, take the extra time, people are already affected, so take the little bit extra time to really, really vet out and try to find the local folks. I sat down every single day with a handful of contractors that mm-hmm. either represent or that are joining the Blue Book. Mm-hmm. And I almost every day when I sit down, I have somebody say who's local, say like, we're just trying to figure out how we can help, mm-hmm. Get our people out there, become. And so they find what we're doing really attractive because I'm not charging them anything. I'm not asking them to join. Yeah. I just am saying, I'm going to point you in the area where there's the biggest need, and then let those people make the decision to hire you or not.
Beautiful. No, yeah. That's the perfect way to do it. And now, Jonathan, we're speaking with Jonathan Lee, a business development consultant with Blue Book Building Construction Network. Well, you're very passionate for this. Tell me, where does that come from? What got you into this area and business?
It started in the third grade, actually. Okay. No, I'm not kidding. It's wanting to be like you, wanting to be connected with your community and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Mm. You know, I think most people have that desire, whether they do much about it or know it. It's there. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have that. We have that strongly. And we also have that, and you might too, we have that sense of guilt that we weren't mm-hmm. affected. I mean, we were affected, don't get me wrong, yeah. but we have a 2-year-old and another little girl who's coming here at the end of December. So we were very concerned with what was going on and do we have to go? Should we go type of thing? Mm-hmm. But we have that feeling of guilt that, we made it through. Okay. So then the next question is, what do you do? How can you help? Right. That's always been a part of who I am. And then with what I do, even absent the fires, before the fires came, what I do when I sit down with guys just like you, I love representing local people and bringing them projects and helping them grow their business the way they want to. And I'll be the first to tell them if I think I can or if I can't. So this is a way that I can continue to do this in my own community. Again, it's all good, goodwill out there. I'm not asking anybody to pay a thing. I just want people to get back to work and to hire those people who got affected. And in long term, that'll amount to good things for everybody, right?
Oh, indeed. And obviously, in the past, there's obviously been a lot of undocumented workers mm-hmm. working in the construction field. How does that work now with this new condition and with ICE around and everything? What's your experience?
You know, I don't have a lot of experience in that directly, other than the companies I represent and how they're affected by how, where their workers are going. And honestly, it isn't a conversation that is broached much. Mm. But to, taking that a step further, to get qualified tradesmen right now, whether they're undocumented or documented, is a real issue mm-hmm. For everyone in California. And before the fires, I would have said that, I don't have a crystal ball, but that economy of construction is only going to get tighter and more busy. So finding good and retaining good workers is a massive issue for people. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons people actually work with me, is because I have a finger on that pulse. Who's moving, who's going where, but also are able to help people forecast their projects, how to get into 2018 and beyond with work so that they can guarantee mm-hmm. their guys work, right?
Right.
But on the undocumented side, Arnold, I don't ask that question too much. I don't go there with too many of the contractors, but absolutely there's a whole, I would say 50% of my people probably, have that, yeah. that portion to their crew.
And yeah, even if not undocumented, obviously all those houses and yeah. rentals that have been destroyed, people are going to have to go further afield to live and then have to commute back into the area, yeah. it appears, doesn't it?
Yep.
I don't know how else it will work.
No, you're right. And people know Sonoma County, Napa County, we pay a higher wage to our workers. So, if you're a drywaller in Napa, mm-hmm. you're probably charging $75 per hour if you're good, if you're decent. And then if you go to Sacramento, I mean, that's, gosh, I would hazard a guess that's below $55 an hour. Mm-hmm. So those people from Sacramento, wanting to come in now with their crews here to take on that work and get that extra wage is a thing we've been dealing with already. And then of course you go down to Silicon Valley and it's like 85, 95 an hour.
Right.
But that's just, it's just crazy when you think of that in terms of the rest of the country and how the wages, change, and keeping a local crew happy, is you got to, man, you got, I know business owners that are just paying their guys more and more and more just to keep them, and they have to.
Wow. Well, and that's it with these local, businesses, then, they are really, cause they could lose all their, you know, these people, lose their workers to other people. That could be a, I mean, it's really critical when you think of it. They're on their back foot, basically. They, you know, how do you compete against somebody coming in like that? That's a tough one.
You just hit something square on the head too, which is, you know, say for example, Boyd Stockham Construction's on the list for having lost their home. Mm-hmm. You know, how are they going to keep their workers? So, you know, if the company is hurting, if they lost their warehouse, where are those workers going to go so that those workers keep afloat, right? They're going to go to their competition. So this is why providing this list out to people every week is so important, so that they understand and they can take a part of keeping those people busy, employed, giving them their work if they can take it on, and therefore letting the company stay afloat. Because, man, the workers certainly don't need to stay at a company if they don't have to. They can go anywhere right now and get a good job.
Exactly. It's a double whammy, really, isn't it? It's the worst of all situations in a way.
I don't know if you saw this. A friend of mine sent me it's a Google Drive document. You may have seen this. It's a list of every business that suffered a loss. And I saw it like within the first week or two, actually, and it's somewhere online. I'll dig it up and email it to you.
Yeah.
But it wasn't construction specific. It was, you know, restaurants. It was anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great because it was an open document. And I still look at it too. I attend El Patio, 4th Street, Santa Rosa, is the Mexican restaurant that I, you know, have gone to a lot. And that guy, the owner, lost his house in the coffee park. So I've been going there as much as I can, you know. So that's the thing, where if people can see that, they might change some of their, hey, go to this coffee shop over here because these people had a loss. So I'll dig that up and email you that link.
Yes, it's like an indirect assistance, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well.
It's another repository of anybody that suffered a loss who is a business owner versus what we're doing, which is construction.
Right. Well, how do people get hold of you and get on the list, and what's that information, that vital information?
So the best way is to just email me, and I think you'll put it up. Did you say you'll put it up on the site? The email address is, just so people know, because everyone out there, I'm sure, got a pencil and pen right now,
right?
is J Lee. J Lee, like Bruce Lee, but I'm not as talented or Asian. And J Lee at mail, mail dot thebluebook.com. So that's the best way to get a hold of me. If you wanted to add a name, or you know somebody in the commercial construction or just in construction that needs to be on that list, please send it to me. Phone number you can reach me at is 707-583-9795. Once again, 707-583-9795.
And it's nice. The Blue Book has been around over 100 years, but you say it's worker owned. Tell us about that side of things.
Yes, we're employee owned. The owner sold it to the company. I'm going to get the date wrong, but I'll just say 2012. Yeah. Hopefully they're not listening. So they sold it to the employees in 2012. And so what's neat about that in a nutshell is I'm able to have control over what I do in my territory. Meaning if there is a construction company that is potentially treating my subcontractors poorly, I can remove them from the network, you know, so we can have control over what happens with our members, as well as we share in the profits, you know, with the company. As the company grows, we grow with it. So it's a great place. I want to add one other thing too, if I may, that, the Blue Book also, this is a pat on the Blue Book's back. We made a pretty hefty donation in terms of cell phone chargers. When I asked for this, I said, what can we send out here to the Red Cross? And so they sent water bottle cell phone chargers. As I recall, the conversation went with our company, you know, how many should we send? And we said, you could send 1,000 and it wouldn't be enough. And so they sent 255 pounds worth of cell phone chargers, which I put in my truck and dropped off. But the neat thing is, from this email that's going out on this list we've created, I've had other contracting companies ask me, we want to donate. So one of my customers called Fairfield Residential, great big developer, does great projects in the Bay Area and all over the state. They donated women's work gloves to Red Cross because Red Cross told me, we need women's work gloves because you can imagine they have a lot of men's work gloves, right? But the women are saying, hey, we need some women's work. So they donated a large shipment of women's work gloves. Anyways, the list goes on. So it's neat to have a community of folks that, you know, we all, and I had a gal call me from the San Francisco saying, I run nothing to do with commercial construction, but I am in charge of this basically employee building. And I have a pool of employees that want to somehow get involved. How do we get our fingers dirty? And so I plugged them into the Trione Annandale State Park Volunteer Center there. And so they're going to be, I think they're coming up tomorrow actually, because tomorrow is the first trail building day in Annandale Park, but for the trails that have not burnt, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, that's another story.
Indeed. But, beautiful. So it's coming. Yeah, you're working at many different ways to make that, make those connections.
I have a truck, I have a chainsaw, I have a shovel. A lot of guys do. And everyone is coming out and saying, how do I throw my back into doing some work? And, you know, most of the time is hold on. And what I've told people is bottle that. You know, bottle that and make sure that in 3 months when the green light goes and we can go to work at the parks, wherever, that you still have that same passion. You just take the lid off and we go charging into it. Cause that's, you know, how everyone forgets so quickly, right?
Right. Next thing happens and exactly. We forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, it's going to be around. It's too visible yet, isn't it?
Well, and how many of us out there heard that when this fire happened, we're just reminded that Lake County, they still hadn't even rebuilt a large portion yet 3 years later. And I had taken my eye completely off that. I had thought, oh, they've rebuilt by now. Until this fire happened, and then people said Lake County still hasn't rebuilt a large portion. So that's when you realize, yeah, this is going to be here a while.
Exactly. A woman who has a show here had a house 74 days before the Lake County fire burned it down, and they're just starting construction now. So, yeah, it's a long haul thing. So, as you say, we've got to maintain our stamina for that long haul.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know. And certainly doing this project is just wonderful. And when I read it, I realized its value.
Thank you.
Because everyone looks at other areas that are needed. But
And I don't know if your listeners know, and I'm probably tearing the lid off a secret here, but Arnold is intricately involved or intimately involved in the construction world outside of the radio. So you know as well as I do, you know, the direct impact that's going on out there. So thank you. They're coming from you. Goodness. That's a great compliment. So thanks.
No, it's that combination of community and business that's what makes a whole community work.
Yeah.
They're not at odds with each other. They're, you know, it's hand in hand. Everyone benefits then.
It is, and there's so much uncertainty right now. It's interesting. We had a potluck at our house, I think like a week or two after, just for my neighborhood, just to say kind of, hey, let's all be grateful. And we had people over, and one of the people who came over was, I didn't know this, but a gal, she is a psychologist. Huh. And so we were talking out in our backyard with a group of people, and I asked her, you know, what about PTSD, which we're all, you know, I mean, we're all hammered, right, from this emotionally, right. Everyone. And she said, well, actually, prior to PTSD, there's something called, I'm going to get it wrong, acute stress disorder, I think is what it was. And she said, what that is, that comes in prior to PTSD, but that's where for, you know, up to 30 days or so, you walk around in a fog. Mm. And everyone at that potluck went, oh yeah, we all, and she's absolutely, you know, that's spot on, right? Because after this happened, we're all just sort of walking in a fog, looking for some clarity, you know, something to shake us back to where we put our next foot forward. So hopefully with what we're doing, that's one of many tangible paths forward for the community.
Hope so. Yeah, I know for ourselves here, even though we weren't directly affected, at least a week of just literally in that fog.
Yeah.
Very surreal fog.
Yeah.
But it's was real for tens of thousands of people who have been affected. So, something we need to work on.
Yeah, once in a generation, a disaster, you know, type thing. Hopefully,
hopefully. Was it 60 odd years ago? There was a similar fire.
Yeah.
In the area. Maybe they can rethink.
We've been asking that question because it was, if you overlay the ground where that fire burnt, it's right over Fountain Grove like this one did and other areas. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. The people who want to rebuild just as it was,
right.
And others
right.
who want to say maybe improve it or, right. or whatever. That's right. going to be quite a contention, I think. Over
it is. And one of my clients is also a FEMA disaster estimator in his other life, and so he's flown all over the country to do work with FEMA in disasters. And he was saying that. He said, don't underestimate the amount of people that are going to not rebuild and leave. They're going to take their insurance money or their FEMA money, and they're not even going to wait, right? Wow. And they're going to vacate. And I've already run into a few people that have said they're going to do just that. So, I mean, this is, wow. this will affect our economy in that way too, so that's another thing that we don't think about as much, I guess.
That's a good point. And yeah, if they don't get rebuilt, then not as many people, not as much property taxes, all those things.
Right. How long do you and your family stay in an apartment, years waiting for your house to get rebuilt before you would say, we've got a chunk of money from the insurance company, we can take this elsewhere. And, if you can,
Right. Exactly. Wow. So many different things. And but thank you, Jonathan Lee of Blue Book, for really making putting a great idea together to start the build back of so we can reconstruct here locally.
Well, my pleasure. And again, thank you for reaching out to me and giving us some time to talk about it. Hopefully it helps at least just one more person who would add to the list would be great.
Exactly. So you can leave a message with Jonathan's information, Blue Book, jlee at mail.thebluebook.com. And if you want any more information, you can obviously call here, 707-755-9250. And, an hour went by very quickly. And fascinating. Thank you so much again for doing this, Jonathan. I really appreciate the work. And it's great that the Blue Book is staying very relevant.
Thank you, Arnold.
For a 100-year-old company. That is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you very much. And God bless.
My pleasure. Let's do a bit of knocking nails into my house by the Idle Race.